Golden State Nuggets. Sixers Celtics. Bear Poker versus Bear. Ball Nights with this panel. Let's go around the horn.
No, I'll take the Bear, Tony. Yep.
I'll take the Bear.
Cousin!
Take the Bear.
Cousin!
No? Nobody?
When the Celtics beat the Sixers in the playoffs last year, it led to a domino fall that saw Doc Rivers out, Nick Nurse in, and eventually James Harden out. Boston's summer of changes saw Porzingis in and Holiday in. Tonight, the new look Philly-Boston rivalry. And also tonight, Golden State at Denver. Another delicious game. Woody, did you hear David Dennis on yesterday's show give Steph Curry the MVP already? You could make a meal out of that, Woodrow. So these two games, four teams with title aspirations, one with the title now. And as you may know, Pablo Torre, you cannot win this year's title on November 8th. So who's in position to make the bigger statement tonight?
Oh, Chef, there is a big game tonight, and it is the Sixers and the Celtics. And yes, of course, it's early in the season, but you know how different the Sixers team is through six games already. All of last season, all of the last decade, it felt like I've been frustrated with Doc Rivers, who's an excellent analyst, a commentator in our business now. But as a coach, it was ancient, this offense, and now Nick Nurse has modernized it. We have gone from a doctor to a nurse, and suddenly the patient is alive. It's a strange thing. It's a strange thing to watch what a handoff can do on the floor instead of just running endless pick and rolls. It's crazy to see what happens when, of course, James Harden has been the story, but to me, it's the schematics of this offense. Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid running a two-man game that involves everybody else. To me, this is a team that can absolutely be in an NBA Finals, and they can absolutely and should absolutely beat the Celtics tonight.
You are very high on this Philadelphia team. Kevin Blackstone, of the four teams we mentioned, who's got the biggest statement tonight?
I'm going to follow up Pablo Torre by talking about my main man, Nick Nurse, who has won at every level of basketball, the British Basketball Championship, the G League Championship, an NBA Championship, and now he's taken his talents to Philadelphia, and they are thriving on it. Four players averaging at least 20 points a game. Embiid and Maxey, 25 and 6 assists a game. Who needs James Harden when they're sharing the ball like that? Tobias Harris, like 70% shooting from the field right now. And they're playing something that no one else is playing in the league very much of, and that's a little bit of defense. So I'm excited to see what this new-look Sixers team is going to look like tonight against the new-look C's from Boston.
All right, well, there we go. I guess it's just about Philadelphia tonight. Woody, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at those two guys are on the East Coast, and that's all they are looking at, and paying no attention to where NBA basketball is really played, and that's out west. And the Golden State Warriors have to make a statement tonight. In order to be the champs again, you got to beat the champs. And they have lost six of their last seven since 2021 to the Denver Nuggets. Who are the champs? They were swept by the Nuggets last year. You've got a guy on this show yesterday guaranteeing that Curry's going to win the MVP when on the other side of the court, you've got a guy that's won the last two regular season MVPs and then won the
MVP. You forget. You're trying to give him credit when he should have won over Embiid, but he didn't win it last year, Woody. Go ahead, please.
So what you've got here is Curry and Warriors have their best chance because the Nuggets are going to be without Jamal Murray, their number two player. So Jokic has to go out once again, get a triple-double against the Warriors as he's done in the last two games. And I think that people are not paying enough attention to the Nuggets and the start they've gotten off to. They have won since the beginning of last year 85% of their home games. And so the Warriors, if they're going to make a statement, this is the place to do it.
And Bill Plaschke.
Woody, you just talked for 20 minutes about the Warriors and didn't mention Chris Paul. Chris Paul is the reason they are so exciting to watch. CP3 is the reason they got off to the good start. He leads the league in assists off the bench with 7. He leads the team with a plus 58. The Warriors are fourth in bench scoring in the league, which they were terrible last year. Much fewer turnovers. This is a Warriors team that I thought was done when I covered their last game against the Lakers last spring. I thought the dynasty was done. I was wrong.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's about you then. Yeah, okay. But you like what you're seeing, and the plus minus is an incredible for someone who's been coming off the bench. Pablo Torre, I'll let you back in.
Yeah, I just like the idea that Bill, I can read between the lines here, Tony. Is he trying to get L.A. points to the transitive property like Chris Paul, former Clipper? Is that what's happening there? Is that why Bill Plaschke is suddenly Paul's team actually is the Golden State Warriors?
Bill, last word.
No, I'm not a Chris Paul guy, but the Warriors, again, off to a great on the road. They're great. They've been great on the road. They were terrible on the road last year.
Will it continue tonight, Bill Plaschke? You have Golden State over Denver?
Yeah, because Murray's out. They'll be Denver, yes.
And Woody?
No possibility. I just told you.
Possibility.
At home,
okay, yeah. Yeah.
No, there isn't. I'm guaranteeing it.
There's another November guarantee of the NBA. And Kevin, since you focused on Philly Boston, pick tonight.
Yeah, I'm going with Philly.
And Pablo?
You know what I'm trusting, Tony. It's the thing I always trust.
The process.
Oh, the process.
The process. Of course.
What was the process
behind ban
that
word, Tony. You
the
ban
hunting
that word.
Jacket today? It's an interesting look there.
Boston.
It's all right. We're not going to lose you.
You know.
That's for sure.
Fall.
We'll move on. No changes Auto. To the top of the college football playoff. Ohio State, number one. Georgia, defending champs, number two. Michigan, all up in the headlines. Still number three. Florida State, Washington, Oregon. No change for the committee in ranking Michigan while the NCAA investigates. Boo Corrigan reiterating it's an NCAA issue, not a playoff issue. Bill Plaschke, you were burning on Washington when you got back from this weekend's game, USC versus Washington. You want to talk about them in number five. Please, floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm burning on this committee. Once again, they ignore the West Coast. Washington is clearly one of the top four teams. They have the best win of any of the top four teams, been beating Oregon. They have the best offense. They struggle a little bit on defense. I'll admit that. But USC's got a good offense. They came in and won in the Coliseum. How are they not ahead of Florida State? I don't understand that. And the winner of the Washington-Oregon, they'll play for the Pac-12 championship. One of those two teams should go to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't think anybody's doubting that because that would be a strength of schedule win. But if I'm picking up what you're putting down, you would say after last week, Washington had a more impressive win than Florida State, for example.
Then they've had more impressive wins during the season, and they had the second-ranked strength of schedule. Every metric has them in the top four.
Pablo, do you believe the ranking should adjust week to week depending on that past Saturday's win, or are you trying to see the best team in the country and they're ranking it in that way?
Yeah, I'm seeing two things, Tony. Number one, there is the regional homerism from Bill Plaschke that I expected. That's the first thing I noticed. The second thing I noticed, of course, is that this weekend is actually the weekend, Bill. This weekend's the weekend. Three of the five highest leverage games as it concerns the playoff odds. It's happening. Michigan, Penn State, TCU, Texas, all of that is happening this weekend. So to me, it's kind of like when a show knows that the climactic episode is 1 week away, and so nobody wants to take a big chance on the plot line. Sort of like a bottle episode. The top eight remains the same. They're just going to let it play out because they don't want to take a risk with the script. I think that's what's happening. Everybody's looking ahead to this week.
Maybe any takeaway from the second reveal of the college football playoff rankings?
No, I think they got it pretty much right, and I like Washington as well. I love their offense. I love Michael Penix, but I'm not going to pick at Florida State just because they barely beat Pittsburgh, or didn't barely beat them, 24-7. Everybody's going to struggle at some point. And the last strength of schedule I saw said that they had the third best strength of schedule in the country. So nothing to take away from Florida State, and everything's going to work itself out since the committee can't do it on its own over the next few weeks.
And Woody Page.
They should have moved it around a bit. It wasn't, I think, perfect, but as it has been pointed out, I think this weekend will kind of settle the fog over that committee. And looking at the video of that committee in the room, I think they were in a hurry to get to lunch. There were no pastries in there. There was nothing really for them to drink. So I guess they were in a hurry just to get it over with and said, let's just repeat last week. But I tell you what, Michigan hasn't played an unranked team all year. They're going to find out that actually Penn State, according to the ESPN analytics, is the favorite in that game. And so if Michigan gets by Penn State, then yes, they belong
there. You think any of the last, I don't know, pick the investigation, pick the number of time, last 4 weeks worth of investigation will distract, or you guys use that word distract. I don't like that word. But will cost them in this game, Woody?
No.
Oh, okay. After all that, no big deal. Okay.
Woody's not paying attention. Yes, it will cost them.
You know, you love these Big Ten teams. You fall in love with their defenses. Oh, they're the number one ranked defense, number two ranked defense all season. That's because they have to play Big Ten offenses. That's why their defenses are so well ranked. We'll be back. Buy or sell next.
Around the Horn is presented by Crown Royal. Live generously and life will treat you royally. Please drink responsibly.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Another story from college football I want to get your take on. James Madison, unranked in the playoff rankings and not able to play in a bowl game this year for now, as it's their second transition year from FCS. But they're 9-0 and AP ranked 21. So they're appealing the ruling of the bowl ban. Someone explained to me this bowl denial rule for a team transitioning and why anyone would exclude such a phenomenal story like this. KB, what is this?
I don't know, but it needs to be changed right now. I mean, JMU out of the beautiful Shenandoah Valley, just a couple of hours drive from right here in Washington, D.C.
Regional bias, great football, but I like it. I do like it.
Ever, great all right? They should absolutely be allowed to play. If you get your driver's license, you don't have to wait a year before you can get behind the wheel of the car. You're in. You're a member. Let them play, please.
Bob Latore?
Yeah, I don't know who this is protecting. I also don't understand the point of an appeals process, Tony, if this is not a reason to overturn this rule. Like, you have an appeals process, you have a classic exemption, nobody wants, maybe Coastal Carolina, who is against this appeal being successful? The only benefit they have to maybe not changing the rule is that there might not be 82 bowl eligible
well,
teams
that's
anyway.
Clearly going to be the
case. So they
case
can get away with it.
Because of the way they've relaxed the bowl eligible in years, they're still going to get those numbers up. But now losing teams make bowls. Bill Plash could be of a 9-0 team, exactly. 2 years removed, and they can't make a bowl?
This is insane. They're 15-3 against FBS opponents in 2 years. They've won 12 games in a row. Nobody can beat them. They beat Georgia Southern. They beat Georgia State. They beat everybody in Georgia except for Georgia, and they probably give them a good game. The NCAA has to change with the times. With the NIL, with the transfer portal, teams can get good and stop right away. They have to recognize this and change this rule.
And Woody Page.
It's even worse in college basketball. You have to wait 4 years, so at least it's only two, but it should be changed. And I didn't cover James Madison, the president, but I'll tell you what, James Madison, the football team, belongs in a bowl, and the NCAA can get it right. They can have the Dukes against Duke in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and that would be perfect in this
season. I like the way you did that. Again, they have relaxed the bowl requirements so much over recent years, and just wait until Colorado has a losing record and the bending over backward they're going to do to get them in a bowl game. We'll move on. Buy or sell two, Brian Cashman defending his Yankees.
We only won 82 games. We didn't make the playoffs. I called it a disaster because it was unexpected, and it was a disaster. I'm proud of our people, and I'm proud of our process. Doesn't mean we're firing on all cylinders, doesn't mean we're the best in class, but I think we're pretty good, personally.
A disaster, but proud of the disaster. As for Hal Steinbrenner, here's his take.
It was awful. I mean, we accomplished nothing.
Okay, so that could be a motto for our show quite often. Steinbrenner also said the team will bunt more next year. That's something to look forward to. Pablo, buy or sell, Steinbrenner and Cashman being able to get to the Yankees where they need to be.
I like the idea of doing anything you can to stop striking out, including at press conferences. All we want as a city, Tony, is don't be that much worse than the Orioles. And of course, Brian Cashman is talking about how actually, you know, we have the smallest analytics department, so we're not a bunch of nerds who lose, we're a bunch of jocks who lose. Thanks for that reassuring update. Really appreciate
it. Bill Plaschke?
The Bronx Bunters, I can see it now, that's wonderful. They ought to, it's amazing, Steinbrenner, he's not following his late father's footsteps. Brian Cashman's been here 25 years. They haven't been in the World Series in 14 years. Aaron Boone's been here 6 years. Yeah, they haven't done anything beyond a couple playoff rounds. These guys need to be replaced. I'm stunned they're still there. Steinbrenner has lost his edge.
Woody Page?
I'm selling the organization. If the old man were still there, he'd get rid of his son, he'd get rid of the general manager, and he'd get rid of the manager. And they're talking about they need a left-handed bat, and they also need pitching. Well, guess what? There's a guy out there that you can pay $1 billion to.
He'd be
you
both.
Can bring him to New York
not
City,
not
and he can help you in both those areas.
I love that.
Kevin Blackstone.
Oh, boy, I'm real teary-eyed about the Yankees continue to struggle and falling on their face. Boo-hoo. But you know what's really funny is I'm just dismissing the analytics department as the smallest around. You're the New York Yankees. You could afford MIT to be your analytics department.
I think the point was being made, they have made, they've leaned into analytics in such a way, in a flawed way, it has led to their failures. And he was trying to rally behind. We don't even have that. I don't know why you would be bragging about that as well. That means the failures.
Everybody wins with analytics.
Something else. All right. Well, let's stay in New York with failures. Buy or sell three, the New York Jets.
You've got Trevor Siemian in your building. Why not give him a try?
Fair question. And I don't know. You got me. I'm gonna plead the fifth on all this one in terms of just I've got to look at it from a global standpoint and just see where we are.
Bill Plaschke, buy or sell global pleading of the fifth.
A global standpoint, I mean, Zach Wilson throws his balls all over the globe. I guess that's what he's talking about. You can't plead the fifth. You don't plead the fifth when you ask about your quarterback because that shows in uncertainty. That shows that maybe you're being bossed by Woody Johnson or Joe Douglas. Maybe you're not making a decision. Maybe it's out of your hands. Your team sees this. Zach Wilson sees this. This is not a good look for Robert Saleh.
Woody Page?
Yes, well, he's not the first guy in New York City to be pleading the fifth lately, so I think that that seems to be commonplace there. However, I think if you go with Siemian, I was around him when he spent 2 years in Denver. He's got more victories as a starting quarterback than Wilson does. At least turn to somebody who's won games in this league.
Kevin, if Saleh can answer the question, what does it mean?
It means he doesn't have an answer. And the question is an absolutely brilliant one and a fair one, given the performance that you just saw from Zach Wilson and that offensive line, by the way, that shouldn't be let off the hook just the other day. He's got real problems. The other year he said he was going to keep receipts. He should be keeping receipts on this right now.
And Pablo Torre.
It's not merely a brilliant question. It is the most obvious of all of the questions. And all it does is provoke more questions. Tony, I thought that Mark McGwire pleading the fifth when he said in front of Congress, I'm not here to talk about the past, was going to be the all-time high water mark for pleading the fifth in sports. Now we have a coach who's pleading the fifth on the present and the future, let alone the past. You have to answer it. You gotta answer it. If you can't answer it, we have our answer, unfortunately for him.
There is the thought, well, there's no moves to be made. There's no, but then you see Josh Dobbs on his third team introducing himself to the offensive line in the middle of a game and winning, and the Vikings now are at least getting back into the playoff conversation with that. Woody Page, I see your reaction there. You're feeling pretty good getting into the showdown, huh?
Yeah.
Slashke, Torrey. Front row seats for a Page-Blackstone showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Around the Horn is presented by Crown Royal. Live generously and life will treat you royally. Please drink responsibly.
Woody Page, Kevin Blackstone, good luck in showdown. Last year, Dylan Brooks called LeBron old. Said he has no problem poking the bear and then proved that literally by poking the groin. All while LeBron toasted the Grizzlies. So tonight, Houston and Brooks versus LeBron and the Lakers.
Ready to lock them up.
LeBron coming off the game where he passed and the Lakers lost to the buzzer. Woody, prediction for tonight?
I predict a triple-double for LeBron James. He's not old. He's like wine. He's just getting finer.
Oh, yeah.
And last year.
Yeah, you tell us.
Last year, he
My prediction
all
is that LeBron James comes out wearing one of those things that sumo wrestlers wear just to protect himself. And on the other thing, he's going to go another 50% shooting plus against Dylan Brooks. What is he talking about? Yeah. Leave it alone, Dylan. Move on.
That's Dylan's move. That's all he's got. I mean, that's his move. He stirs it up. We'll move on. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, the Sharks winning a game. Took 12. But now we can take a breath, goalie Mackenzie Blackwood said. And I give these guys so much credit. They've been such a great group, head coach David Quinn said. Kevin, is 1-10-1 time for a breath for a great group?
I don't think so, especially given that that you gave up 20 goals in the last two games between three netminders.
Before last
they got
night.
A little work to do.
Mm-hmm. Woodrow?
Kevin Blackstone, oh, the shark bites. Guess what? You look at it half empty, half full. They have lowered their pucks against scoring to 7. I think that's a great accomplishment.
Yeah, 10-10, and then the Gillis little out last night, the three. Okay, all right, I'll see what you're doing. 30 seconds of FaceTime, Woody Page.
Good story out of the Minnesota Wild. Center, cousin, Vinny Leteri, last night scored his first goal since joining his hometown team where he grew up. And guess who was doing the color commentary on the game? His grandfather, Lou Nan. First time he's ever been able to salute his son in all the years of his broadcasting. What a good family story.
Wow, that is a great family story. Speaking of a story, Woody, did you see how many wins you have? 665.
Ooh,
so your next win, yes. Yeah, you might have to do a FaceTime. praising the Angels and the Saints.
Did you really
or the New Jersey Devils, Miroslav Chatan, and the Duke.